He's a wonderful Savior. Young people, you're dismissed to go to your classes. If you have a Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In the Bible tells us about having our thoughts on the Lord. It says, whatsoever things are good and honest and pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. Our Savior is the altogether lovely one. We read in the Bible about the beauty of His holiness. And there's a wonderful attraction to the Lord Jesus Christ to those that know Him. Amen. He's our Savior. We believe He's God in the flesh. We believe so many things about Him. And as we think about His attributes or how He saved us or how He ministers to us, it just helps us fall in love all over again. Our love for the Lord just gets stronger all the time. It's wonderful to meet a new convert. They're just really enjoying it. Or an older saint who has tried and proved all the scriptures, and he loves the Lord more and more all the time. But we're going to read a couple things here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I hope you brought your Bibles today. We're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to read a lot of Bible today. That's really not different, is it? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's just look at two verses. Verse 8, the latter part of the verse, to prove the sincerity of your love. And there's a story behind that. All the way down to verse 24, same chapter. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. The proof of our love. And let's ask God to bless us today. Father, we do love you. We want to love you more. Here's our hearts, Lord. I pray that you'd minister to us. And I pray that the word would be precious, that would help us grow in grace and knowledge, and be glorified in all that's said and done today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The proof of love. Somebody said your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. It's pretty good, huh? Well, I got through that. Praise the Lord. Actions speak louder than words, and you know what's going on in our heart. Sometimes the mouth speaks, but sometimes there's an action to it too. That works for good and for bad. But love is more than action, it's more than words, and we're going to look at that today. How do you prove your love? How do you prove your love to your wife? How do you prove your love to your husband, to your children, to your friends, to other believers in the church? There's all kinds of Bible instruction. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives. That's a good thing to say, amen? But then the rest of the verse says, and be not bitter against them. Why would it attach that? You know, because sometimes people don't get along, but it should not affect their love, amen? Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it. That love produced something. Amen? So husbands, love your wives. Amen, ladies? Okay, that's what it says. I remember there was an older couple, and they were sitting in their living room. And she was in one chair reading a book, and he was in another chair reading the newspaper. And all of a sudden she said, honey, do you love me? And he says, yeah, I love you. And, you know, the tone didn't sound right. So she waited a little bit longer, and he finally said again, honey, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. And again, the tone wasn't the same as the words should be. And so she said, finally, she says, honey, do you love me? And he says, yeah, you know I love you. Now shut up and let me read the paper. Amen? Well, that doesn't fit, right? So how do you prove your love? And we're going to go through this, and I think it'll be a real blessing because when the love of God is in our heart, there's a peace, there's a joy to that. We are ministered to, and then our cup overflows and we minister to other people. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, the aged women are instructed, and the aged women are those over, well, I better not, I better not go there. But that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. So that's the purpose of an older woman, to teach a younger woman how to love their husband and to love their children. In Proverbs 15:17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. And I have got my own slant on that verse, so I wrote, give me a salad and peace rather than steak and strife. Amen? That's basically what it's talking about. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. This verse is just chock full. If you don't get anything else out of the whole message, remember this verse. This is 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls, you've done something, in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. That's genuine. That's the real deal. Unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That verse is just chock full of something going on inside of us that spills out and is a blessing to other people. In John chapter 13 and verse 34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. He said, as I have loved you. And if you want to know how to love somebody, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. We can all love this little girl up here. Amen. Man, I mean, what a blessing. Is she making faces, Sandy? She's sending kisses to you. Amen. And you just love that. Don't you love that? It's such a blessing. But we'll see the other side of the coin in a minute. But a new commandment give I unto you, as I have loved you. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, amen, amen. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. And it says, but by love, serve one another. So this is just mixed into everything about the Christian life. Amen? You open a Bible, you open a book, and you're reading this, and you're going to find the love of God there. You're going to find His mercy. You're going to find His grace and all the things that attract us to Him. He draws us with that, and we'll see that. What is the proof that you love God? You ever thought about that? Do I really love God? And it's a good thing to consider. Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's such a natural spiritual thing, because it's salvation. That's what God does for us. He creates a new heart in us. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. But it starts in the heart. And when we give that heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, He becomes very valuable. Unto you which believe, He is precious. That's what the Bible says. So if He's precious to me, and He's done all this for me, and His love is shed abroad in my heart, it's a gift that He's given me, then you just kind of go with the flow. Amen? Because there's so much to love Him about. And that's the work of the Spirit in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Think of that. You're taught of God to love one another. Automatically, when we get saved, we love God. Amen? But then God starts to expand that so other people can experience the love of God. So He teaches us all about the love of God. And now we can use that with other people. And He gives us opportunity to do that all the time. And how does He do that? How does God teach us to love one another? Okay, let's say you're teaching. Anybody teachers here? We got a couple of teachers here. What grade did you teach, Laura? Yeah. Elementary. How about you? Fifth grade. Okay, let's take fifth. That's pretty good compromise there. Okay, today, students, we're going to learn some math. And no math? Okay. We're going to learn recess, how to have recess. Yeah. But we're going to learn math. And so everybody has a textbook, right? Turn to page 12, and you turn to page 12, and you're learning how to add, subtract, multiply, divide, decimals. Don't you love decimals, you know? And you have all of this thing. Of course, fifth grade, they're into advanced trigonometry and calculus, I think. So anyway, so you use the book, and the teacher takes the book and instructs you. That's what God does. He uses His word. And so we're going to say, well, I have a problem with people. I have a problem loving people the way I ought to. Just open the book and let God teach you. You have no need that any man teach you. Amen. That's what the verse says. But that the Lord should teach you. And he does that through his word. The Bible definition of love is God. Very simple. In 1 John it says, God is love. God is love. So if you're going to learn about love, you need to learn about God. And then God supplies that. True spiritual love is God. And so we look at his attributes. His mercy, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. In the morning, his mercies are plentiful. Amen. We learn about his grace. We learn about his long suffering. His gentleness hath made me great. And you quote scriptures all day long because all of his attributes draw us to him. All of his attributes cause us to love him more and more and more. And there's times we dip and we ride the roller coaster and we'll see that. But this is what God does for us. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. But Jesus added, your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Amen? That's a tough one. That can only be accomplished by the Spirit of God in you. But that's the way we love. Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, and we're still sinners, we're just saved sinners. And we experience the mercy and the long-suffering and the grace of God all the time because he loves us. And in Jeremiah, it says he loved us with an everlasting love. It doesn't depend on your actions. He loves you. Nothing is ever going to take that away. Will anything quench the love of God? You read in Romans, nothing. And it gives a long list of things that would oppose that. But God will always love you. Amen? That's just such a blessing to me. In Romans 5:8 again, God commendeth or showed his love toward us. And his love is seen in his forgiveness. His love is seen in his long suffering. His love is seen in all of the mercy that he shows to us. We throw a lot of I love yous around. Yeah, love you, brother. Love you. Hey, love you. Hey, love you. Love you. Love you. Boy, I love that cake. Boy, I love the hands that made it. Amen. And we throw all of those around. But until something changes that. Like, I love Ida. I just love Ida. Until she gets in front of me in the cookie line, then the love is out the window, right? But if you ever experience those emotions, now you got to be careful about emotions, you know. But if you ever loved somebody and then they had a bad day, and it tests your love, you know. Husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. But that applies in every area, not just family. It applies in work situation. But anyway, somebody has a bad day. Maybe you're having a bad day. And love goes out the window. How about they don't meet your expectations? Has somebody not met your expectations lately? I wrote this down. Oh, the burden of being a perfectionist. Some of the most unhappy people you'll ever meet are critical perfectionists. And they're easily offended. He didn't shake my hand. I'll shake your hand. But sometimes I get distracted. I've been talking to people, and maybe I did it this morning, because I see on some of your faces, you're just got daggers in your eyes. But I'm talking to somebody, and my mind isn't there anymore. Amen? It's not there anymore. And I see somebody coming in, and I got to see them, and I got to talk to them. I did it to Gary. I publicly apologize to you, Gary. And I'm talking to somebody, and somebody else is coming in, and I need to see them, and all of a sudden, you're talking to another person. Well, it's not that drastic. But love overlooks that, right? Charity shall cover a multitude of sin. That's love in action. It covers. It is, in Proverbs, it says, it is the glory of a man to cover an offense. And that's what God says. So, years ago they had this. A return, where you'd go to return something that you didn't like, and they called it the complaint department. Remember that? And man, that would be the worst job in the world, wouldn't it? You're standing here, okay, let them in, let all the customers in, I'm in my place, and here are all these people, and they've got scowls on their face, and they're coming up, you know, and there's a big line. And you see a little scowl at the first person, but down the row, about five or six people, somebody is not happy. And you know they're headed your way. I mean, that would be a terrible place to be, wouldn't it? Unless you like that, I don't know, I don't think I would like that. Sermon's too long. Sermon's too short. It's too cold in here. It's too hot in here. Amen? Boy, that was deep. That's too deep. You need to keep all the cookies on the bottom shelf. You know? That's not deep enough. Man, I'm not learning anything here. I mean, it's always something. Could you believe that in a church? We're children of God. We're filled with God's love, amen? I've seen some wild things happen in a church. I had somebody that was mad at me in Sturgis, and it was a big auditorium, and I would go in and I would see where he's at, and I would go up because I wanted to shake his hand, just kind of minister to him. And when he saw me coming, he would go down another row. And so I shouldn't have done this, but my stubbornness was says, well, I'll head him off at the pass, you know. And when I went that way, I wanted to talk to him, but then he went somewhere else. And I kind of gave up on it. I guess he doesn't want to talk to me. But I mean, in church, we ought to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Amen? As God loved us and gave himself for us. And the scriptures are endless. Why? Because that is so powerful. That's what we need to do. We need to love one another, and that pleases the Lord. Luke chapter 6 and verse 32. If you love them which love you, what thank have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If you only love people that love you, or only love people that please you, or only love people that are acceptable to you, then you don't know Calvary's love. Because he died for sinners. He loves us all. No matter what we do, no matter what we say, God loves us. Amen? What a blessing that is. And he wants us to have that same effect on people. It's easy to love people that love you. That is so easy. But we need to love everybody. One preacher said, I believe the five most important words for pastors, here it is, for pastors to say during their sermon, turn in your Bibles to. Turn in your Bibles to. Because when we turn in our Bibles, that's where the power is. The power is not in just somebody speaking words. It's in the Word of God. So that's why we encourage you to bring a Bible so you could see that. So here we go. That's my introduction. Amen? And the Bible says, teach the whole counsel of God because it's profitable. Galatians 1:10, Paul said to the church, therefore, do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Let God be true. And then very, very strong language. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Because thy word is true. So something contrary to the word of God wouldn't be true. Amen. It would be a lie. In Matthew, somebody said, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, the greatest commandment is love the Lord with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, all thy might. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like unto it. This is the Lord speaking. It's in Matthew. The second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is so important. I mean, if that's all the instruction we had, we would want to figure out, how do I love God so I can love my neighbor? How do I love God so I can love my enemy? How do I love God so I can love a lost sinner, somebody, and bring them to the Lord? Amen. It's so vital. And when God, who wants that, is kind of overruled in a man's heart or a woman's heart or a young person's heart, then there's malice, which is ill will. But we want goodwill. We're going to sing about that coming up in Christmas. Amen. So one time a year, you have to have goodwill. No, I mean, that ought to go all year long. It's just such an important thing. The greatest commandment. In John 3:16, you can say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. God so loved the world. 1 John 3:16 says this: hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Strong language. Amen. We're to love people like God loved us. He laid down his life for us. We're to lay down our life for the brethren. That's a manifestation of his love. Take your Bible and go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. There's so much here to read, but obviously we don't have time to read it all. 1 John chapter 1. And I'll just try and pick out some verses. Are you there? Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. If we fellowship like God wants us to fellowship, it's a good connection. Look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie not and do not the truth. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Those are pretty powerful statements. We go to chapter 2. Look at verse 4. He that saith, that it's a number of these, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar and the truth is not in us, or in him. Verse 6. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. I mean, those are pretty pointed statements, amen? Because they cause us to look at, do I really love God? Am I manifesting the love of God in my life towards other people? Because we're saved because of the love of God. God commendeth his love toward us, showed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here he's coming to a sinner. He came to me. I'm a sinner. And he loved me into the kingdom. Amen. He loved me into salvation. It drew me. And we'll show you the verses on that in just a minute. Let's look at, oh boy, so many verses. Chapter 4. I would advise you to read the book of 1 John. It's so great. Verse 10 of chapter 4. No, let's back up verse 9. No. Let's look at verse 7. Yes. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, or the satisfaction, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And you see the context. Verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he that beloveth God love his brother also. And there's so many verses there, we skipped over a number of them. But we are to love people. And again, it's not just an action, it's not just a feeling. It's what God says and works in our hearts and how that ministers to people. When God says he loves you, he means it. He really means it, and we can take him at his word. Jeremiah 31:3, this is the verse. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I love thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, the love is there. Therefore, I have drawn thee to me. How does he draw us? With his love. Amen? Let me give you another verse. Hosea 11:4. I drew them, God says, with cords of a man, with bands of love. We are drawn. God draws us. If there's nothing that drew you to the Lord, what would draw us to God? Would guilt, would belittling, would what is going to help us come to God? It's got to be His love. We can go to the mercy seat anytime. Amen? We can come before the throne of grace to obtain help in time of need anytime, because God's mercy and God's love is always there. That draws us. And take your Bible and turn to the book of Hosea. Hosea, if you're not sure where that is, get Genesis and go right, or Revelation and go left, and you'll find it there. Hosea. Powerful, powerful man. Hosea, chapter 1, chapter 2. This is a book about God's judgment on Israel, and the prophet is warning them, and uses Hosea in a wonderful, wonderful way. And we'll just read about it. But look at chapter 2, verse 5. God is saying, "For their mother hath played the harlot, because they went after other lovers, they went after other gods, and they rejected Him." And so He's comparing that nation to an unfaithful woman. It says, "For their mother hath played the harlot." Look with me at verse 13. "And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them. She decked herself with her earrings, her jewels, and also went after her lovers, and forgat me, saith the Lord. Therefore will I allure her." Well, don't you think when she was going into idolatry, God would say, "I'm going to destroy her. I'm going to reject her. I'm going to give up on her." He says, "I will allure her." Look at the language there. To allure is a spiritual attraction. When we come to God for forgiveness, and you can come anytime. You can come to be forgiven as a Christian, but you can come to get saved too. He is not going to reject you. He will not beat you up. Amen? He will love you. "She went after other lovers and forgat me, saith the Lord. Therefore," what's it there for? "Behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her. And I will give her vineyards from thence, the valley of Achor, for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt." That is such a blessing. God says, "This is what I'm going to do for you." Look at chapter 3, and we'll just read the whole chapter. It's only 5 verses. "Then said the Lord unto me," God speaking to Hosea, God's telling Hosea, "I want to use you as a manifestation of my love. I want to give the nation an example of my love for them, and I'm going to ask you to do this. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord." This is powerful. "Toward the children of Israel, and look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, for an omer of barley and half an omer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days." Hosea, you're going to be an example of my love to the nation of Israel. And we've read the story. Isn't that something? And in Hosea, it talks about how God draws us. What a blessing that He could use you not to beat somebody up verbally, not to have malice or ill will towards somebody or belittle them. How is that going to show them the love of God? Amen? We want to draw people to Christ. There are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. If somebody breaks into my house to hurt my family, I will take action. Amen? I mean, you can't say God loves you as they're stealing everything in your house. But there is a principle here where we need to love people, even the people that are unlovely. because that's how you manifest the love of God. And God chose Hosea to do that, and he did. It's recorded in the scripture. 2 Corinthians 12:15. Paul said this, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more I love, the more I love, the less I'm loved. I will very gladly spend and be spent. If something is spent, it's all gone. He poured himself out. Be spent for you, that the more I love you, the less I'm loved. That's because love wants to minister to somebody with the truth of the Word of God. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth? The reason you instruct your children not to run and play in the street is because you love them. Amen? You don't want to see them get hurt. And so stop. Stop at the curb. Stop at the end of the driveway. Don't run out of the stop. And sometimes there's restrictions that come from the Word of God. And Paul was dealing with somebody in Galatia that had the wrong doctrine. Paul was dealing with somebody in Corinth that was a carnal church. And so he's trying to manifest the love of God. Amen? We find in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee that thou hast left thy first love. This is the church at Ephesus. And God says, boy, you've got this right, this right, this right, this right. You've got a wonderful testimony. You're doctrinally correct. You can spot a liar in a minute. You can spot trouble in a minute. But you've left your first love. It's absolutely amazing how we can get involved in the Christian life. And, you know, I'm better than this one. I'm doing this. You have the Pharisee and the publican going on all the time, where that Pharisee needs as much mercy as the publican. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? There's somebody that's Pharisaical and critical of other people. They need you to love them too. You just need to love them through all of that. But it says they left their first love. Mary and Martha, same example. Martha was cumbered about with so much work. And the Lord said, Mary had chosen the good part. She's sitting at my feet, showing me love. 2 Timothy 3:2, in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. And then it gives you a list. 2 Timothy 3:4, it says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And see, that's the problem. When your love grows cold, church doesn't mean much anymore. Reading the Bible doesn't mean much. Winning a soul to Christ doesn't mean much. How you respond to others doesn't mean much. It becomes all in here. How does this affect me? But when we're living for the Lord, I spent all so that I could win you. I've spent all. I've done everything I could to minister to you. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where we started. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. To prove the sincerity of your love, the proof of your love. Well, let's look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. This is what they did, no matter what their circumstance was. In their deep poverty, they gave liberally. They first gave their own selves, and great work was done for the Lord there. And you go into chapter 9, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, speaking of Jesus Christ, and you find the spiritual power there. It was beyond their power. They had to tap into another power. You are not just going to go out and love people. You know, people on the road are going to make you angry. People in church can make you angry. People at work can make you angry. Neighbors can make you angry. We need another power at work in our lives. Amen? Otherwise, you can get bitter, and that, that can really hurt. Webster in his dictionary wrote, "The love of God is the first duty of man, and this springs from just views of his attributes, his excellencies of character, which afford the highest delight to the sanctified heart. If the heart is right, it will receive all of that." The greatest love story ever told is Linda and I. She's teaching a class. Tell her I said that, amen. But is the Lord dying for us, amen? It's the greatest love story. He loves you while you are a sinner, no matter what kind of sinner you were, no matter who you are today, God still loves you. Isn't that such a blessing? Filled with the Spirit is filled with the love of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be filled with the love of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, more comfort, more joy. I forgot one. I'm looking for it. But anyway, love. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to be filled with love for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not man behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil." Boy, that's a good one. "Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Charity never faileth." That's love in action. That's love with work clothes on. That's a power outside of ourselves. Amen. It's got to be the love of God. It's got to be the filling of the Spirit. It's the Spirit at work in our lives. What's the verse? "It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." That's God working in you. And that's a manifestation of God working in you. You love your neighbor. You can even love your enemy. You love lost souls. You love the brethren. Love in your family. We used to always say in our family, I'd say to my daughter, "Love you," and she'd say, "Love you most." And then I'd say, "No, I love you most." And then she'd come back and said, "I said that first." And I said, "Yeah, but I'm your father. I love you most." And she said, "Well, I don't like what you're, the way you're talking to me." And I said, "I don't like it either. I don't like the way you're responding." And pretty soon we're hating each other. That's not how it works, amen? The more love you show, you can disarm somebody. A soft answer turneth away wrath, amen? Sometimes the wrath is still there. Sometimes it doesn't get turned away. But don't get drawn into that. Dog eat dog. You know, if we bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. So, I'm not somebody that would not stand for what's right. But you don't have to argue. Amen? You have to be careful. The proof of your love. The benefits to you, loving God, you have peace, you have comfort. The benefits to others are, man, my cup runneth over, and you'll just affect people all the time. 1 John 5:3, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Man, I should be in church. I'm not going today. Sometimes you need to take a day off, amen? But don't take a month off or a year off, amen? Okay, I'm going down the wrong road there. John 15:10, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love." And John 15, I won't take the time, but John 15 would be a good chapter to read on that. John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you're filled with the love of God, you will love what he loves. Amen? 1 Peter 1:8, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That verse ought to be true to us. We ought to experience that. We've not seen him, but by faith we believed in him. And though we're not in the circumstances of that, we're in the faith of that. And he's transformed us in our hearts. It's a spiritual work. If you're born of the Spirit, that's where the power came from. If you walk in the Spirit, that's the direction you go in. If you sing in the Spirit, that's the joy of the Lord in your heart coming out. If you pray in the Spirit, that's not just vain repetition. Amen? They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God's got to get in. He's got to get in. Well, I want to be angry. I don't want to have love. Well, you need God's help. Amen? You just need God's help. In Luke chapter 7, boy, I'm tempted to read that. I'll just kind of bring it down. There's a woman that was washing the Lord's feet with her tears. And the Pharisee was there, and he knew that this woman was a sinner. And Jesus knew it too. And he was letting her do this. And then he told the story about how that she ministered to him since he came in, but the Pharisee didn't do anything like that. And he said, to whom much is forgiven, there is much love. And boy, that's powerful. And I don't know if you ever go back in your mind and think, boy, I don't deserve this. God's really been good to me. Makes you love him all the more. But Jesus healed 10 lepers and only one came back. What a shame. Come back today. Come back to his goodness. Think about it. Think about the day you got saved. Think about how good he's been to you. And love him more and more and more all the time. And then that love will spill out. And you'll be able to minister to other people. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for the love that you show us every minute of the day. I pray, Lord, that you would use us for your honor, for your glory, and that, Lord, we would just worship you and love you. Bless every heart here. Bless every mind, every life, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's